introduction. Good morning, everyone. In conjunction with the other authors, we've started this summer to evaluate native grasses for herbicide safety. Like many of you throughout the country in Mississippi, we have seen an increased interest in the use of native grasses, especially as golf course roughs. Most of what we've seen has been, the interest has been because of the drive to become more sustainable. And that is for good reason. We utilize these native grasses properly. We can see a reduction in pesticide use, water use, as well as a monetary reduction in terms of decreased mowing. As well as these native grasses do offer benefits in terms of wildlife habitat as well as pollinators. Just this year, for instance, in Mississippi, in West Point, we saw Mossy Oak, the big camouflage company, joined up with Gil Hance, the architect for the Olympics golf course, construct and open up their golf course with this native or naturalized theme in mind, in which they've incorporated hundreds of acres of native areas. We're also seeing it from the standpoint of already constructed golf courses looking to incorporate native grasses within their current rough areas. As we travel and talk to many superintendents, really the main theme that comes up is how do we control weeds? With our climate and weather in the southeast, annual grasses become a pretty big problem, especially in establishment. If you're familiar or not with growing these grasses, they're pretty slow to establish within the first year. We often have gaps in canopy, which leads to weeds and problems. Currently, most of the recommendations is to use post-emergence herbicides, which do offer good results. But oftentimes, these post-emergence herbicides don't have safety really across the board within the grasses, especially in warm season grasses. And oftentimes, these are grown in polyculture stands. Excuse me. So what we did is, and it's hard to talk about, is there opportunity outside of the post-emergent herbicides to utilize? So really, our objective this summer with this study was to identify selected herbicides that can be safely applied on a range of warm and cool season native grasses common in the southeastern United States at two particular timings, a true pre-emergence timing, as well as an early post-emergence timing. We looked at five warm season grasses very commonly used in the southeast. You're probably familiar with blue stems as well as switchgrass and Indian grass. We also wanted to look at some cool season grasses. These wild rye, maybe you aren't familiar with, but they are native cool season grasses to the southeast. And we think that they can be utilized as an alternative possibly to fescues. And they do in the southeast grow and maintain throughout the summer and the rest of the year. So we looked at 15 different herbicides or treatments as well as a non-treated. Being completely transparent, the title of this talk may have been a little bit misleading. Really what we were trying to do is a timing application. So if you look at this and you saw the title and you say, wait, not every herbicide in here is actually a true pre-herbicide, you would be correct. But we wanted to look really across a range of commonly used herbicides within golf courses. Some of those would be true pre's like prodiamine, dithiapyr, oxidizon, simazine, but as well as some that have post-emergent activity like tuprambazone, mesotrione, and as well as different other herbicides that may not be commonly used but are labeled within the turfgrass industry. As well as it's represented a mix of different modes of action, these rates that you see are common standard use rates within the industry. So this was a greenhouse study. It was a completely randomized design with four replications. They were grown in containers that contain native soil. Once again, we were looking at two specific timings, true pre-emergence as well as early post-emergence. And this study was repeated twice this summer on May 15th as well as June 21st, which we'll call Run 1 and Run 2. So how we set this up in the true pre-emergence study, 10 seed were placed on the soil, and they were covered at a 0.6 centimeter depth prior to herbicide application. This was approximately about a quarter of an inch depth, done for two reasons. One, to be able to hold the seed in place throughout regular watering of a study, as well as a quarter of an inch is the industry standard in terms of drill seeding native grasses. So we wanted to be able to mimic that. In the early post-emergence study, we germinated plants within growth chambers. Once they were germinated, we took them out, placed them within a flat that contained peat and sand, grew them for 3 weeks. They were then removed. All plants were root pruned at 2.5 centimeters and then placed into the native soil containers, transitioned for a week, and then the applications were applied. All in all, this was the treatments were applied 4 weeks after germination within the growth chamber. So what do we analyze? After 8 weeks, the study was terminated for both of them. At that point, we took root and shoot dry weights. And then for the pre-emergent study, what we'll look at today is really we took plant counts and utilized that as germination percentage. We also took visual percent injury ratings on a biweekly basis. For the sake of this talk, we're going to look at specifically the 6 week after treatment, which was really the point at which we saw the last phytotoxicity within the study. The data was subjected to analysis of variance using PROC-GLIMIX. All data was normally distributed, model assumptions were met, and means were separated by adjusted 95% confidence intervals. We did force pool the data by grass type with this, and that's the way the data will be shown today. So all warm season grasses were pooled together, and then all cool season grasses were pooled together. We primarily did this because really one of our main objectives was to see if we could have herbicide safety across a range of grasses. So let's take a look at some results. This is the pre-emergent study. The data you see today is from run two. We had failure in run one, so we did not utilize that data. I think it was primarily attributed to temperature. We just didn't have warm enough temperatures at that point to get proper germination. So this is run two data. Let me take a second to set up this graph. They're all pretty similar from here on out. Along the x-axis is our treatments. As you can see, if I can get the mouse to work, the bottom left hand is the non-treated, and that will be that way for the rest of these graphs. All bars that are red were treatments that did have a significant impact compared to the non-treated. For the pre-emergent study, the y-axis is looking at percent germination reduction relative to the non-treated. So within our warm season grasses at 8 weeks, you can see that a few of these treatments, primarily pre-emergence herbicides, did have a significant reduction in germination. But if you notice, most of these treatments were around 30% reduction. To my knowledge, there really is not a standard in terms of what is acceptable with germination reduction. I would think that, for the most part, we'd probably be okay with a 30% reduction in germination if it meant that we can control weeds at that point. So it seems like we do definitely have some significant reductions, but some of these pre's may be an opportunity to be used with that level of reduction. With the cool season grasses, we looked at pretty much the same herbicides, caused another reduction, a significant reduction compared to the non-treated. But this time we had really elevated reductions, above 40% for the most part, and up to 60%, almost 60% in the case of indazaflam. So it seems like these herbicides did reduce cool season germination higher than what they did in warm season grasses. So really, what can we conclude from this? First and foremost, the last bullet point, I think, is most important. We do need to repeat this study this summer to be able to confirm these results. But if we can deem 30% as acceptable, it seems like a lot of these pre-emergent herbicides can be utilized within warm season grasses as a true pre-timing. Some of the herbicides really of interest that were deemed safe really across both cool and warm seasons are the five that you see listed here. Two of which really I think could have some utilization would be pendimethalin and prodiamine, two very common pre's that we use, and they do have grass control. Remember that annual grasses are really the big problems that we see in the southeast. So two herbicides that we can look at further that possibly can be utilized within establishing these native grasses. Switching gears in the early post-emergent study, once again, just a reminder, these were applications that were applied 4 weeks after germination. In this graph, same treatments across the x-axis, but now we're looking at visual percent injury, and once again, this was taken 6 weeks after treatment. Again, we do see red bars that indicated that we did have significant differences relative to the non-treated. But once again, within this early post-emergence timing, these applications were below, except for metolachlor, below 30%, which is our industry standard. So there seems to be some safety of these grasses, warm season grasses, applied at this timing. And that was kind of reiterated with our dry weight data. We did not see any significant reductions from any herbicide compared with the non-treated for both root and shoot dry weights within warm season grasses. This is just an example, a visual example of what we saw. The top left, you can see this is just kind of a healthy purple top plant. So this is one of our warm season grasses with a metolachlor application. And as you can see, we move on the time frame, there definitely was some injury, but by about 6 weeks, we start to do see some recovery. And at the eight-week timing, we really do see almost full recovery. And this was pretty common in these herbicides that we did see visual injury with. Within the cool season grasses, just a little bit different of a story. I want to really point out four major herbicides that we did kind of see across the board have issues. That would be atrazine, indazaflam, protamide, and simazine. You do see as well dimethamid and metolachlor. We did have significant visual injury at the cool season timing, but we, as the dry weight data will show, it seems that we had some recovery with those two particular herbicides. This y-axis is a little different. This is a log scale. This is percent dry weight reduction relative to a non-treated. Overall, within the cool season grasses, we didn't see a whole lot of shoot or root dry weights within this study. As you can tell, everything was below 10% in terms of its reduction. But once again, the four main herbicides that I pointed out in the previous slide did show a significant reduction in root weight. And as well as we're looking at shoot weight, same four herbicides did show a significant reduction. This is just a visual picture of those four herbicides. The middle picture is a picture of our non-treated 6 weeks after treatment. This is Virginia wild rye. As you can tell, atrazine and simazine did significantly damage these plants. Really, as well as indazaflam, protamide does show some injury, but not quite to the scale as we see with the other three herbicides. Once again, this is root weights. From the left is our non-treated. As we move across, you can tell that we do get a root weight reduction with these four herbicides within the cool season grasses. So really, in conclusion with this study, there seems to be no indication that TruPrez can't be applied to warm season grasses at this timing. And really, there's three herbicides kind of that are deemed post-emergent herbicides or have post-emergence activity that I think could be of interest in looking at future research. That would be dithiopyr, mesotrione, tapramazone. I know with mesotrione, tapramazone, we don't have a ton of future work that's been done. So these three herbicides could be possibilities we use within and early post-emergence timing within both warm and cool season grasses. So really, this was kind of a starting point for us. This was a greenhouse study. We know there are limitations with that, so we really want to take these herbicides that we've seen within this study and then put them out into the field and see with different climates, different locations, how that factors into damage as well as different soil types. And that's the plan really for this summer moving forward, is to move this into field research. And we'd also like to be able to start evaluating different warm season, different native grasses as well. For instance, on the Gulf Coast, we see a lot of wiregrass. We'd love to be able to see how these herbicides affect wiregrass as well as some of the other common southern and southeastern native grasses. And the inclusion of forbs as time moves along as well. And with that, I'll take any questions you may have. Yes, sir.
In your containers, I couldn't tell if it was soil or sand.
Yes, sir. So the question was, in the containers, was it soil or sand? It was a native soil. Yes, sir. Yeah, go ahead.
In your results for the C4 grasses, it looked like simazine and atrazine were clear winners.
Yeah, so the question was simazine and atrazine. They were definitely usable, and I think they are something that can be utilized in the future. But you know, a lot of what we see is annual grass problems. So you know, they definitely can be used, especially if we have broadleaf issues. And I think that's something that can be used. Maybe it can be something that's in combination with other herbicides. But absolutely, they were safe, according to this study.
All right, thank you.